thank you very much for this opportunity to talk about CARB or combating antibiotic-resistant bacteria. And specifically, I'll focus in on CDC's efforts to implement the National Action Plan to combat antibiotic-resistant bacteria. In 2013, CDC described the antibiotic-resistant threats in the United States and the overall impact of the emerging antibiotic resistance. With greater than 2 million people getting infected per year, this was a conservative estimate, and at least 23,000 deaths per year. This does not include C. difficile, which we described in this report, which has a whopping number of 15,000 infections per year. All of this is very costly. All of this has the potential to threaten modern medicine, where simple procedures that were taken for granted are now very complicated because of the threat of an antibiotic-resistant infection. In this threat, we also assessed each antibiotic-resistant threat and ranked them into one of three categories, and these were urgent, serious, and concerning. There were three urgent antibiotic-resistant threats. One is Clostridium difficile, and that's because the number of infections that are occurring. The other one is carbapenem-resistant Enterobacteriaceae, and that's because these bacteria are becoming resistant to all antibiotics that would be considered for therapy. And the third one is Neisseria gonorrhoeae. And again, that's because of the emerging resistance and failure of empiric therapy regimens. As a result of this report, the U.S. developed a national action plan to combat antibiotic-resistant bacteria. I should say that this report in this action plan does include fungal pathogens as well. It describes the emergence of resistance in Candida species. And in addition, there is another action plan that is focused on preventing resistant tuberculosis infections. This action plan describes the U.S. actions that will result in addressing the antibiotic-resistant threats and reducing the number of resistant infections for the country. In fiscal year 16, CDC received $160 million to implement our portion of this action plan. And the investments have been in a number of different areas. There have been big investments in prevention programs, and these are focused on state prevention programs. There are investments in developing antibiotic stewardship programs. That's happening. All hospitals are now required to have an antibiotic stewardship program, and there are also state programs for improving antibiotic use within a state, and these are really focused on a One Health approach. There's increased investments in surveillance programs, so we know where antibiotic resistance occurs and can implement prevention measures when needed. And I'll talk a lot about an antibiotic-resistant regional lab network that will help us to detect new resistant bacteria and new trends in resistance. So a little bit about antibiotic stewardship. The work that will occur focuses on three areas. One is getting better data in order to improve antibiotic use, and this includes focus on use of antibiotics for treating sepsis, expanding the National Healthcare Surveillance Network, which has which is a web-based surveillance system that the CDC uses to collect data from healthcare institutions. There's a module that can collect electronic pharmacy data from hospitals, and these are data describing what antibiotics are administered to patients. These data can be used by an institution to benchmark their prescribing practices. There is also focus on ways to improve prescribing, and these are specific recommendations that are being developed for inpatient settings and outpatient settings. We've worked on developing national targets for the reduction of antibiotic use, and strategies to meet these targets are focused on areas where antibiotic use is clearly inappropriate, and improving in those areas would really reduce the number of antibiotics being used in total. In addition, there are educational campaigns to educate not only healthcare professionals, but also patients on the use of antibiotics, and empowering both groups to say no to antibiotics when they're just not needed. Our prevention strategies at the state-based level are focused on preventing transmission of healthcare-associated pathogens between facilities. We know that if a single healthcare facility implements prevention measures in their own facility, they can drop their rates of resistant infections. But if you have a network all working together, tracing where antimicrobial resistant infections happen and how they are transmitted between facilities, then you have a much greater decrease in the number of infections. The State Public Health Department is the group that's able to monitor rates of resistance in these different facilities, identify when new resistance occurs, and then help these facilities implement prevention measures when needed. So recently we've funded a core capacity in all 50 states to focus on these prevention efforts. And in addition, there have been 28 states funded to focus on prevention by forming networks of hospitals and tracking resistance. In addition, there have been investments in preventing drug-resistant tuberculosis in the U.S. Again, there's a separate action plan, but this funding that was received in FY16 has been invested in TB as well. And this is focused on identifying interventions that prevent infections both domestically and internationally. There is a national stockpile of medicines to treat TB, and also increased screening for immigrants to the United States that might be infected for TB. Okay, let me move on to the antibiotic resistant lab network. This is a network that is being established in the public health care departments throughout the U.S. It will establish 7 regional laboratories. These regional laboratories will have comprehensive laboratory testing capabilities to be able to detect and characterize antibiotic resistant threats. These are all threats that occurred in the urgent and serious categories. They'll help states identify outbreaks and better track resistance. So this lab network is focused on a collaboration between healthcare laboratories, a state local healthcare laboratory, regional laboratories, and the CDC. So each one of these groups has a role in identifying and characterizing resistant pathogens. Really, what we want to do with this network is to fill the gap between the kinds of susceptibility data that are generated in healthcare settings and the kinds of data that we need in order to mount a public health response to antimicrobial resistance. There'll be some testing that happens at state and local health department laboratories, but most of the testing will occur in these regional laboratories, and then CDC will help these regional laboratories implement their testing capabilities. So the testing that will occur in a state or a big city laboratory, one of the types of testing will be confirmation and characterization of carbapenem-resistant Enterobacteriaceae. This is going to occur in all 50 states in some large cities. There will also be whole genome sequencing of Salmonella implemented. This will be For every single salmonella isolate that's identified in a hospital laboratory, it will be sent to a state laboratory. It will be characterized by whole genome sequencing, and this is happening right now for salmonella, but we expect this to be expanded to other pathogens. In the regional laboratories, they will do testing to identify patients colonized with CRE. You're going to hear a lot about the testing that they're doing for Neisseria gonorrhoeae. There's also testing for the other serious pathogens, which include C. difficile, Salmonella, Candida, and Acinetobacter. Any really new types of resistance, like vancomycin,